A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Daf Nun, Nedarim 50a, pagination is 99. We start from the third line, the story of Rabbi Akiva. And this is one of the Gemaras that we're very fond of doing related to Nedarim. It's the story of Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law, Kalba Savua, a very wealthy man, making a vow that the children, Rabbi Akiva and his wife, should not benefit from him because he was so frustrated and angry with the shidduch, because at the time Rabbi Akiva did not know how to learn, didn't know Aleph Beis, Psukim, Mishnayis, and Kalba Savua made a neder they shouldn't benefit from him. And eventually Rabbi Akiva became the great Rabbi Akiva with thousands of Talmidim, and Kalba Savua came to undo the neder, Hataras Nedarim. And the Mefarshim point out, because once Rabbi Akiva made a decision to go, and he went to the yeshiva, so the rest is commentary, so to speak, that there is a blessing that a person who goes to yeshiva to study will indeed succeed. So the Gemara tells us as follows. Rabbi Akiva is kadshis leberate de Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva was mekadesh, the daughter of Kalba Savua. Shama Kalba Savua adrahano mikol nechsei. Kalba Savua heard, and he made a vow that they should not benefit from his property. Ozla v'insiva lebesisva. And indeed, Rabbi Akiva went and consummated the marriage with the chuppah, and they got married. Havagana beitivna, they were sleeping on straw. They didn't have true bedding. And they would sleep on straw. Havakaminket leitivna min mazye. And they would pick the straw out in the morning from their hair, because this was the best living conditions that they were able to come up with. Amar lo, Rabbi Akiva told her, Ihavoili, if one day I'll have money, Ramina lach Yerushalayim de Dahava, I'm going to get you what apparently was a known ornament, a golden tiara of Yerushalayim, image of Yerushalayim on it. And indeed, if we piece together the different Gemaras about Rabbi Akiva and his wife, he did indeed get her one of these later on. Asa Eliyo, in the time that they were in these dire straits of poverty and life direction, Eliyo came, Idmu lahon ka'anosha, and appeared like a person, like a man. V'kakari abava, and he called by the doorway, Amaluhu, he told them, Havuli purta detivna, please make a donation of a little bit of straw, Dilidas itzi, because my wife gave birth, Velesli midam la'agunan, we have nothing to lie on. And this was Eliyahu's, we have to understand this, I guess, stylistic liberty, or Mishanim ipnei ha-shalom. He's allowed to lie, perhaps that's his mission. His wife didn't just give birth, and he didn't have straw. Somehow Eliyahu was allowed to do these types of things. And the point was to hearten Rabbi Akiva and his wife. As we see, they realized, Amala Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva told his wife, Lindsay, Chazi Gavra, look, there's a person that filu tivna lo isle, doesn't even have straw. So we should be thankful with our lot. Indeed, that is one of the methods that a person can focus their mind in order to achieve happiness, to recognize others have even less, and therefore to be able to be introspective and appreciate that which we do have. Amrale, she told him, Zil have birav, she told her husband, go study in the yeshiva. Go become a person of the yeshiva. Become a student. Ozal, he went. Tartisri Shini for 12 years, Kamei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, in front of these Rabbeim. Lemishlam Tarte Srishanin, when he completed 12 years, Ka'asa Levesei, he came home. But before he got in, Shama Min Achare Besei, he heard from behind the house, Dika'amra Lechad Rosha Ledevisu, a certain wicked woman was telling his wife, Shapir Ovid Lich Avuch, your father did well, it was smart of him to disown you. Chada, number one, delo yichoslach, delo dami lich, that Rabbi Akiva doesn't have proper yichos, he's not similar to you. Va'od, and not only that, but you see what kind of guy he is. Shavka charmolos chayus, he left you in a widowhood, even during the lifetime. Kulon shenin, all of these years. Amrale, Rabbi Kiva's wife, understanding her husband and his potential greatness, responded, you got it all wrong. Itzoyis l'dili, if he would listen to me, lihavatartesri shenin acharanai, so he would go back, he would stay there for another 12 years. Omar, Rabbi Kiva, heard this from behind the house before he even came in. Since she gave me rishus, I'm going back to yeshiva. The later commentaries wonder why he didn't come in at least and greet her. And one answer that's given, Rav Gifter, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, they say that 12 plus 12 is not the same as a complete 24. And if there would have been an interruption, it wouldn't have been the same. And he recognized that, then he turned back and simply continued his studies. Hadar Ozil Havatarte Siri Shini Achranaisa. And he stayed another 12 years in the yeshiva. Also Be'esen Va'arba Alfin Zuge Talmidi, he came back with 24,000 pairs of students. And the commentary on the side points out that it's not clear that it's supposed to be pairs. It seems from the other text recounting this story that it's either supposed to be 12,000 pairs of students or it's supposed to be 24,000 students, but not 24,000 pairs of students. In any case, Nafikule Alma La'ape, everybody from the town went out to greet him. Va'afikomas Lamepek La'ape, and the wife of Rabbi Akiva was also going out to greet him. Amalahu Rishia, this wicked woman who before was giving bad counsel that would have destroyed Rabbi Akiva's potential and would have caused terrible Shalom Bayis problems between Rabbi Akiva and his wife, if his wife would have listened to this lady. And we see certainly that a person who simply gives bad counsel and encourages a person to focus on the bad parts of their life, the badness of their lot, is referred to as a rasha. That's bad counsel. So this woman tells Rabbi Akiva's wife, Va'at Laicha, where do you think you're going? You don't have proper clothes. How are you going to go out? Amra Leh, she said, Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behemto, Rabbi Akiva, my husband knows what I've gone through for him, and he'll accept me. Asas Leh Chazuye Leh, so she went to try to get an audience with him to appear before Rabbi Akiva. Kamadchen LeRabbonon, so the entourage was pushing her away. You see the imagery here. Oma Lahon, Rabbi Kiva saw her and said, Hanichula, let her in. Shali v'shalochem shalahu, because what I have and what you have is all hers. She's the one who encouraged me to go study. Shama kalba savua, the father heard, Asa v'ish shalal nedre, and he arranged v'hataras nedarim, they arranged that the vow that they shouldn't benefit from him should be undone because clearly he saw that he never intended for such a thing to be restricted by a vow. We see from a different source as well to what extent Rabbi Akiva rose from, in a scholastic sense, from rags to riches, because when they asked Kalba Savua, had you known that your son-in-law would acquire Torah, would you have made the vow? And he answered in very simplistic terms, had I known that he would have learned psukim, I would have never made the vow. And we see that the potential that Rabbi Akiva was thought of in his generation, the potential, besides his wife who saw tremendous potential, the way he was viewed in town, on the street, was in very simplistic terms. They never expected that he would be able to learn psukim, learn mishnayos, and certainly not thrive in Torah and become really the crown jewel of the Jewish people, of Jewish scholarship, and the Gemara continues even of wealth and tremendous chesed. Rabbi Akiva became a gabbai tzedakah. He became in charge of providing for the poor. He ascended on so many levels from the poverty state initially that he suffered with his wife through to tremendous greatness. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.